Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
It is Thursday evening. It is 8 o'clock. This is LA Talk Radio, and you are listening to The Writer's Block. My name is Jim Christine, and I'm your host for the show, and I'm sitting here chair dancing. I'm actually with my lovely, charming co-host, Bobby Jean Bell, sitting in studio with me tonight, along with your husband, Jim Bell. His thumb is up, so he's good to go. And what have we got to go? Yeah, next week I won't be with you. Russ will be with you. I have to go get some more stuff done. Not happy, but it's so I can keep coming back.
We will miss you.
Believe me, I will miss being here.
You could call in and just say hello if you feel up to it.
Actually, our guest next week is Caroline Howard, and when I talked to her today, I told her if I can call in, I will. She goes, oh, good, you have to. Yeah. And the let's see, next week is Caroline Howard. The 21st is Peter Streitz, and his wife will be in studio. And I believe they're coming down from the Bay Area someplace, or I'm not sure.
It's so fun when we love all of our guests, but there's something special when they're in the studio and we can lock eyes.
When they come in, yes. Yes, and you don't stumble over them because you know when they've stopped talking.
Right.
Right. And Peter is an author, and he's also a poet, and and we do have a book of poetry by his, and I have not gotten into it, but Jerry's gotten into it, so. And then the 28th, we have the indomitable Eric Heisner and his sidekick, Al Bringus, who bring their own little form of madness to our studio.
That'll be a really, really fun show. You don't want to miss that one.
They are a fun group, those two, yeah. And they're just a lot of fun to have in a studio, and they're great guests. So with that being said, let's tell you that the Writer's Block is brought to you by Black Dog Publishing, those nice, gentle people in Simi Valley of Black Dog Publishing, by Out West Boutique and Cultural Center in Newhall, California, and by Target Freight Management in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And we always mention Target Freight, and we do that because, well, primarily because they pay the bill. But we also know that they have the very best truckload service that's available in the industry. And if we haven't mentioned before that TFM Truckload is the finest in the industry and gets your freight there every time, then slap on us, because we should have. If you need a good rates for your transportation cost, call today, 844-653-7789, and tell them you heard it on The Writer's Block, and they'll have a little something extra for you. That's Target Freight Management, their TFM Truckload. And while we're at it, if you are an LTL shipper, which means less than truckload, as Russ already knows, see, he learned something while he was sitting here, you are probably looking for the best rates with the least hassle. Call Target Freight Management. Their customized transportation management system is just a ticket to getting your freight moved your way. Call Target Freight Management today at 888-653-1323 or go to www.targetfmi.com on the web. Call today. You won't be sorry. And actually, the president of Target Freight will be here at the end of this month, and I'm hoping to get him in studio with us.
Wow, that would be wonderful.
Wonderful. Mike's really a good guy, and he'd just sit here in awe with his mouth hanging open. He drools a little bit, but he'd be all right.
Oh, I hope he's not listening tonight.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, he listens to the podcast.
Yes, okay. So, we really thank you so much.
So Mike, you may want to hold off on this one for just a little while. Hey, we've got a guest tonight that's, she's in New York, and she's just, what a prolific writer she is. She's done everything. She's a screenwriter, plays,
children's
books.
Literature. Yeah, and an illustrator.
She's an illustrator. She just does everything. Her name is Tina Fields Howe. And Tina is, according to her biography, she's been writing stories people love for over 20 years. She's focused on novel writing for several years, then took up screenwriting just a few years back. Her books, audiobooks, and scripts have won several awards. Those I want to find out about because I always and never believe awards. She has recently adapted her novel to a TV series and is pitching it to producers. Tina provides volunteer mentorship through the Career Development Council to help students better understand the writing process and what it's like to be a writer out in the world today. I'd like to welcome Tina Fields Howe to the Writer's Block. Tina, you with us?
I'm with you. Oh. Good to be here with Bobby and Jim.
Well, thank you, and we'd love to have you here with us.
Thank you.
Talk to us about a little bit about screenwriting and what this little, what was it, the Western screenplay that you were asked to do?
Oh, I noticed on, because Jim and I, of course, are Westerners at heart, so I noticed on your Facebook page that it was a while ago, it was last, several months ago, but it looked like maybe you were going to be working on a Western project.
I had been working on a Western project, which has been put on hold. Uh-huh. Which often happens in the world of screenwriting.
Oh, sure.
a lot of deals happen and things change, and so that one is on hold for now anyway. But I currently just updated my website. I should have done it a few days ago, but I just recently signed on to write the biopic of Cindy McCoy, who you may or may not remember was huge in roller games or roller derby back in the 60s.
We were just talking about roller derby and the L.A. Thunderbirds and the Texas Outlaws and all that stuff.
She was on the L.A. Thunderbirds.
Right. I actually kind of remember her.
She was also 2 years in Australia on the international team, and she was very young. She was like 14. So she's got quite an interesting story. So I'm adapting her book, which was written by Karen Mueller Bryson, to a screenplay. So we just started that process a week or two ago.
Oh, wow.
So, it's very exciting, very exciting.
Now,
and it's a true story, so that's even more exciting because so many of them are, you know, not true stories.
Right.
Based on, you know, roller derby games.
Well, because we're also
very excited.
Because we're also always interested in process. We don't usually talk about process quite this quickly, but I just love to ask this question since this is being adapted from a book. How did the project find you, or how did you find that project? We love to have folks give us advice for new emerging, you know, authors and such. So how did, may we ask how that came about?
Sure. Well, I make most of my connections on LinkedIn. Now, LinkedIn is a great place to build relationships with producers and other writers and actors. It's just a very friendly business kind of atmosphere where you can really build relationships. However, Cindy and her husband, Terry, found me on Facebook. I have a page up there for a screenplay I wrote called Bridenapped, which is a comedy, rom-com action sort of fun little film. And they contacted me and asked if I might be interested, and we spoke, and we really clicked, and just got on board together with this project. So that was one way. Another way to meet other writers and producers is on Facebook. It's a great way to do that.
Well,
however, if you
place.
Are going to try to make professional connections on Facebook, it's better to keep your Facebook page clean, you know, not have a lot of political stuff or dirty talk or things like that on it, you know. So.
Yeah. I say that's
LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a great place for new people in any business to meet other people.
Now, we find that keeping the politics off of Facebook is getting more and more difficult as the days get longer and longer.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and it's getting nasty, and I start deleting people, you know, because they just don't stop.
Well, I don't go to the home feed very much. I kind of go in and do what I need to do, and I kind of get out of Dodge.
I don't post a whole lot on my Facebook page, but I do have other pages, like one for my screenwriting, a screenwriter page, and I have one for my Bridenap script, and I also have one for my novel series. So they're like separate.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like the separate pages, so they don't get the, all that stuff doesn't feed in from your friends.
It's
just a few posts was on that page, and the way people reply just replies directly to those posts on those pages. So, you know, if you have a professional side you want to develop, it's a good idea to make a separate page from your home Facebook mm-hmm. page. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Jim, do you want to start talking about any of her books?
Well, I actually wanted to ask a couple questions before we got into her actual writing books. You apparently or obviously have gone to school. What school did you go to?
Well, I actually got a bachelor's degree in anthropology and a minor in art many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. I never became an anthropologist because when I got into my senior year of college, I thought, do I want to stay in anthropology or maybe get into fine art? So I took a year off and ended up not going back to university. But many years later, when I took a crack at writing scripts back in the 80s, and it just wasn't working very well because they just weren't the resources. That was like pre-internet, so we're going way back here. Mm-hmm. They just weren't a lot of resources. And unless you lived in L.A., sort of forget about, writing screenplay. So I just sort of gave up. So then I started writing short stories and poetry, and then I actually wrote the very first draft of Alyssa of the Fields, which is my first novel, back in 1984. And before I'd really done any kind of training, and I sent it off to a bunch of publishers, and it got rejected a bunch of times. Got really nice little handwritten rejection slips, though. That was kind of nice. And then I just put it away for 20 years and then took it out again and completely rewrote it with my 20 years of learning. In the meantime, I'd done a lot of corporate writing and other creative writing, some short stories, and just put all that experience and rewrote that script. And then I actually published it independently in 2006.
Ah, a phrase we know well here at the Writer's Block.
Yeah. Yes, I picked that. Actually, I picked that term up off one of your podcasts.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we're learning. We're learning. We learn a lot from our guests.
We like it when our guests listen to our podcasts. It kind of gives you an idea of what you're in for.
Yeah.
Which is never anything hard.
Yeah.
How did you
get? I'm just really a visual writer, and people kept telling me, you should really make a movie out of this. You should make a movie out of this. Mm-hmm. So I tried to take the first novel and squish it into a feature film, and it just was a disaster. So then I discovered these wonderful screenwriting programs on a website called ScreenwritingU.com. Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful programs for screenwriters, and some very intensive ones. And just took a year-long intensive called the Pro Series, and then I just completed the master's certificate last September, which was almost a two-year program. Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful program with lots of other wonderful writers. And we're a very tight-knit group, and we actually rely on each other quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And we have a secret Facebook group that we communicate through, so.
You have to have a password to get into it.
Well, and you have to have a lot of trust amongst you because you would want to be protecting your own ideas.
Yeah.
So
our guru is Hal Crosman, and also along with his wife Cheryl Crosman, they create the programs and manage the group. And there's a zero tolerance kind of policy. You will remain positive. You will help each other. And we need to do that. And it's just a very safe place to go to ask for help, to, like, for logline help a lot, exchange scripts, to get feedback from each other, which is invaluable. And we all speak the same language because we've been through the same program. So it's an awesome group. Awesome.
Hmm. There's another nugget for our listeners.
Love nuggets.
That's fabulous. That was screenwritingu.com, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually writing this down.
I wrote it down already.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yes, I got it.
Okay.
I also have links on my website because I want everybody to know about the programs and how wonderful they are. So,
how many books have you written, Tina? And there's two parts to this question. So let me ask the first part. How many books have you written? Now, that's not including screenplays and poetry and everything else. That's just strictly fiction. And what is the process for each book? Is it different for each book, or is the process always the same?
Okay. First, I've written two sci-fi novels in a series. I call them my Alyssa book series. It's about a young teenage girl named Alyssa who lives on a fictitious post-apocalyptic planet, like 3,000 years after devastating war, and how the survivors have prospered or not in that period of time. So there are two books in that series, and I had outlined, this is a hint, outlining, I had outlined the third book in the series when I got involved in the screenwriting programs. But I have plans for that third book. And the second part was my process. First, you know, I need to be inspired to write something. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that there are trends, you know, but if I can find a concept that's kind of trendy or timely, but also I need to feel passionate about it. I need to feel passionate about that topic. And at the time I wrote the Alyssa books, at first it was going to be on Earth, and then I thought, well, no, it's, you know, there's thousands of post-apocalyptic stories on Earth, and it's too painful. So I created an Earth-like planet called Shunar Kun, but nobody could pronounce it. So now I've changed it to Axis Prime.
Oh, Axis Prime from Shunar. Okay.
Axis Prime. Okay.
Axis Prime is the new title of the planet and also the series. And I've adapted it, that series, to a TV show, a TV series.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm pitching the pilot right now. So it's called Axis Prime. So then I'm big on, so in addition to being inspired, I'm big on brainstorming. Brainstorm like crazy. Really work my imagination. And I brainstorm both in my head and on paper, you know, typing, whatever. I have sticky notes everywhere. And I usually end up with a pile of sticky notes and have to consolidate them all in a list. When I'm brainstorming. I also found this cool software last month that I've been using called Scapple. Have you heard of Scapple?
No.
No.
Tell us more.
It's scapple.com, and it's like $14.95 or something for like a lifetime price, and it just gives you a blank page that you can type and make blocks. You can bring photos in. You can link your things together and move everything up. It's awesome. It's awesome. So I'm actually using that on my new projects.
Scapple. S-C-A-P-P-L-E.
Uh-huh. S-C-A-P-P-L-E.
Got it. And I also wrote down the $14.95 because I am cheap.
Yeah. That's what it was last month. So hopefully it's, you know, still the same price. But it's very, very cool. Very cool. So then, after, you know, I'm doing my brainstorming, and while you're brainstorming, the storyline and the characters are coming to me, and sometimes I actually start out with characters in mind. I'd like to write a character like that and develop a storyline around the character, or I have a situation or a story that I want to write about, so I come up with characters to express that story. So I'm not hung up on, you know, one way or another, but just doing the brainstorming helps me sort through everything. So then coming up with a storyline could take hours or weeks or months or years. I'm usually working on several projects at once, so it doesn't really matter. It's just the timing needs to be right for that to happen. It just sort of comes together eventually. Then I begin to outline. Once I get my basic storyline, I outline. I'm a big believer in outlining, because it actually lets me be more creative than if I just started writing. And just starting writing often leads you into painting yourself into a corner. So when I first started out, I painted myself into a few corners. And I found, like, with the first book, the Alyssa of the Fields, I had to stop, go back, and add chapters. Mm. Oh, well, this is cool. I kept going, making huge, huge, huge changes, and that's why it took me a couple of years to do that, to get it out. Now, with outlining, I do all that heavy lifting up front. So I have, at least I have my flow, now I have, you know, set this up and pay it off this cool way later, like the twists and so on. You can put all that stuff in your outline, and then you got like a lot of that heavy work done, and then the real creativity starts, which is putting in the details and adding the dialogue and so on. But I do the same thing, whether it's like the novel or short stories or screenplays. I do some copywriting. I do some promotional copywriting. And I do the same process with that. It just works great, just having outlining and key points and interesting twists and so on. So then I flesh out the scenes, and these better ideas come to me as part of that process. And I often wake up with new ideas or a resolution to a sticking point. And I learned in my screenwriting courses to make several passes over the script for dialogue, character, and actions, and action and so on. And will do the same thing the next time I write another novel, which I'm sure I will, because I have other novel ideas. And then when I think what I've written is ready for someone else's eyes, but I won't be embarrassed by giving it to somebody. That's like, would I be embarrassed to feel good about giving this to somebody to read? I'll ask my writing colleagues, like my screenwriting colleagues, or I have a very wonderful friend who's an editor, a wonderful editor. I'll ask her to look at it. I also have given my novels out to total strangers, daughters of coworkers or coworkers or somebody I heard that likes to read this genre, and I've given my manuscripts and asked them to read them, and I get wonderful feedback from them. Mm. When I was writing Elizabeth Fields, one of my teenage writers said, gee, I sure would have liked to have known what happened when Zarin went to Alyssa's cottage that night, because all of a sudden it's the next day, and I'm like, So I said, it's a big hole. So I filled that hole with this wonderful little first-time romantic scene between Alyssa and Zarin.
And that's a wonderful, that's
the cottage
great.
In the moonlight.
Yes, that's a wonderful scene.
Oh, I love that. And I would have missed that if this one person, this one teenage girl had said, gee, I would have liked to have seen what happened when he went over. Oh, so it's really important to get other people's ideas because you just don't know. As a writer, you're so close to it. You don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing. You don't know how it could be better, like that is somebody would understand it better. Or I've had people say, she wouldn't say it like that. Okay, I'll fix it, you know. So then once it's been through that process, then it's ready to pitch. So if it's a screenplay, it's ready to, I'm ready to start the marketing process, which means sending out query letters to producers. And there's a number of different ways you can do that. There are some online pitch places like VPF, which is Virtual Pitch Fest. It's a great place to look up producers, managers, agents, and they tell you what genre they're looking for. If it's a feature, they're looking for TV or whatever, and you could actually pitch and post a letter to them and hopefully get some script requests.
That's
pretty cool.
Where is that again?
It's called VPF.com, Virtual Pitch Fest.
Oh.
And you can buy pitches. You buy pitches. They're very inexpensive, and you can use them whenever you want. They don't expire. So that's a wonderful place to pitch your scripts. Also, like I said about LinkedIn, you can just get to know some people and ask them at some point if you can, you know, pitch your story idea to them, and you know, they might want to request your script. That's actually, I have a screenplay in development with B. Poland Productions, and I met him on Facebook or on LinkedIn. We started a conversation over a period of a couple of months, and he requested the script and loved it, and now he's looking for financing and talent right now on that. So there are many ways to pitch your idea. And there's also a place that you can post your scripts is called Inktip. Have you heard of Inktip.com?
No.
No.
That's a great place. You can post your scripts for up to a few months for a fee, and you can also post short scripts for free up there. So I've got 7 or 8 short scripts, like between 3 and 10 pages up there.
Hmm.
They're like complete little movies in just a few pages. Wow. So that's a very cool site. So then, if you think about it, if writers, any kind of writers, you know, screenwriters or novelists, think about building relationships with people in the industry that they're headed for, it's really a cool way to go. So that they get to know you as a person, not just somebody throwing an idea at them.
Right.
They get to know you as a person. It's very important.
Where do the ideas to your books come from?
I'm sorry?
Where do the ideas from your books come from?
Well, the other book that I wrote, too, is a children's picture book, Snails for a Short Little Story.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That one, I literally got that scene in the book, the opening scene, is actually off my back steps. There's ivy, there's a rhododendron bushes, there's this garden, big, tall, white garden gate. And that idea and I had a lot of snails in my yard, and that idea just came to me about what if this little she snail poked her head out of the ivy one night and started thinking if there was better food up that fence post. So the whole book takes place with her coming out. She runs into a few characters that try to thwart her mission, including a very nervous cricket, a snake who threatens to eat her, a moth who is just all over the place. Oh, and a toad, too. A toad tries to eat her. So, but she makes it to the top and has a wonderful surprise. That idea just came into my head. It just literally flooded into my brain when I was sitting out there on the steps one evening just looking at that scene.
Well, and the illustrations are charming, and you illustrated it as well. That's another talent that you have, right?
Yes. I used to do quite a lot of illustration. I illustrated that. I actually did my book covers, too, for my Alyssa books. And I haven't done a lot of illustrating the last couple of years because the writing just takes up so much time.
Sure. It's kind of like the pumpkin and the scarecrow.
And the scarecrow of your wife's, yeah.
Yeah, kind of. Your snail reminds me of a book that we focused on a little while ago called The Pumpkin and the Scarecrow.
Well, I finished Alyssa of the Fields today, and I know that I'm very eager to read. Then I'm glad to know there's a second book because I really didn't want to leave these people. I really wanted to follow them. You have created this wonderful situation on a planet other than Earth, and yet the characters are very relatable. They are more, you know, they're more human than certainly not, and we can absolutely walk in their steps and feel that we would know who they are. But you've created a lot of new terminology. You had to create new names for the seasons and for plants and for animal, the flora and the fauna and all. What a wonderful experience that had to be, and how freeing, I would think, to just sit and come up with all of that.
Oh, thank you.
Hey,
well,
Tina.
I have to put the anthropology degree to use, you know.
Well, you might as well. You paid for it.
Yeah.
Hey, I need to cut you off for just a minute, Tina. I have to spend some of our sponsor's money, so I'm going to cut you off for about 30 seconds, and we'll bring you right back. Are you there?
Okay.
I'm here. Okay, hang tough. Sutter's Mill in Simi Valley is one of the finest steakhouses in Ventura County. At Sutter's, you will find casual dining with a touch of elegance and a rustic steakhouse atmosphere. Their well-trained staff strives to provide their guests with a great dining experience. At Sutter's, you will find the finest in steaks and seafood, along with specialty items such as barbecue pork ribs, don't you laugh, Bobby Jean, deep-fried chicken or shrimp. Sutter's offers a full bar with special happy hour pricing and never charges a corkage fee. Visit their website at Sutter's4Dining, the 4 being number 4, dining.com, to make online reservations and view their hours and menus. Their menu also offers a summer special section, which gives you a 20% discount Monday through Thursday from 4 p.m. to a close. So enjoy. For reservations, call 805-520-4797 or go to www.sutters4dining.com on the web. And we actually need to go back there.
Oh, we need to go for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
We need
get
to
Russ
all go together.
And Nancy.
Yeah.
Karen and Jerry and I and you and Jim.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, and your pool boy and, you know, whoever.
My cabana boy.
We're speaking with Tina Fields Howe. If you want to call and talk to Tina, the number here is 818-602-4929. That is 818-602-4929. And we are back with Tina right now.
I'm here.
You are here.
Hello.
Hello.
So before we went to our commercial, we were just beginning to chat a little bit about your the creation of this civilization on this planet that we certainly aren't familiar with. And you create two specific groups of people, the field folk and the trailmen. Tell us a little bit about how you kind of put this together.
Okay, I don't want to do any, what do they call it, spoilers.
Yes.
No spoiler alert.
No spoilers.
what I needed was two tribes, two groups of people who diverged under some mysterious circumstances way back in the past, so that Alyssa can bring them together through her trials and tribulations. And that mystery, when the mystery is solved, it's very profound for both tribes. And although both tribes must accept each other, it's still pretty hard. There's still a lot of, upset. And what can I say when the two societies have been totally lied to for thousands of years? Very, dejected and downcast and lost because their identity is really not completely who they are. So when they find that out, but of course it has to happen because Alyssa must bring them together because Alyssa's, her people are farmers. They're pacifist farmers, just willing to stay where they are until the end of time. They have not rediscovered the old technology yet. Early on in the first book. The second book, they find a little more, Bobby Jean.
Mm-hmm, okay.
So the other tribe is nomadic, and they are hunters and warriors. And the tribes are so different that they have very little contact with each other. They only come into contact for like a few hours twice a year, and that's to exchange the goods, to barter. And they even do that in silence because they're not supposed to speak the same language. So that is the situation with the two tribes. And then when a mutant beast comes to the mountains, Alyssa needs to get the trailman's help to fight them because they're harming her tribe. So that is the big dilemma. And, of course, over time, the people start to accept each other. Some of them, at least they cooperate and they learn to fight together.
Well, and the geography, the pictures that you paint, your words are absolutely illustrations. I was very caught up from the very beginning with the colors and the textures and the sounds, and I could certainly put myself right there with Alyssa following her. And when we meet the other group, the trailmen, we're right there with them too. I couldn't help but think that this is a little bit like a Little House on the Prairie meets a Braveheart or
Battlestar Galactica.
I heard Little House before. I heard that before. That's interesting.
Well, and I think it's because they're farmers and they're ranchers and they certainly have animals and such, but they're really farmers and craftspeople. And what a wonderful community! In both groups, you give us a wonderful sense of community, and yet you're also pointing out that even within a community, people have the right to be an individual. And,
right.
And it's very thought provoking.
Big lesson, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
that's her big lesson, the big revelation that she, her deceased father helps her to find in herself. She has to become an individual in order to achieve what she needs to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Right. and then kind of lead, you know, they moves forward. So I am very excited to read. Now, Jim, you read the second book.
The second book, yeah.
So, Jim, tell us a little bit about...
I was quite confused. I have to be honest. I understand that the book is written for young adults. And I'm as far from a young adult as you're going to get.
But I'm an adult that totally was engaged with it.
I know, but if I have to keep going back and forth on to glossary to where I'm reading, I get my brain fries.
Well, that's why you read the first book first. Yeah.
Well, we split them up, but I do have to say you have like. I what is it, 10 pages of glossary. I mean, you have names that...
Oh, it's so fun.
And I mean, who are the soaring folk?
They're new because they're not in book one.
They're new, yeah.
didn't you say you read book two?
Well, yeah, but I got the soaring folk is like the Desmond... I mean, good Lord. Who can... I can't pronounce half these names.
Well, she gives you the phonetic pronunciation.
I know. And, you know, but you do such a really good job of this. I actually did a book where I had to do Cajun translations and stuff. And I did a glossary at the end of that, but it was only one page.
Well, she's created a whole... Yeah,
yeah, you've created a whole new universe, and I get that.
A wonderful new universe with civilization. Tell us a little...
The second book, the first chapter... sort of encapsulates, you know, what happened in the first book, but you can't possibly put everything from the first book into the
right. Well, no, I mean, you're already dealing with, what, 90,000 words? And yeah,
it's pretty long.
Yeah. You know, having it to do again, I probably would go back and read the first book first and then try it again.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, there's another option. I have the complete unabridged audiobook of Alyssa of the Field, the first book, with 40 actors, sound effects, and music.
I'm waiting for it.
I was actually just going to bring that up because I'm not sure that we've had very many guests that have been involved in audiobooks.
No.
And I went to CD Baby and I listened to a lot of what I could listen to of the tracks. It was like 99 tracks, right?
Well, I told them not to do that. I told them over and over, please, it's one audiobook. It's not separate tracks.
Right.
I can't get them to change it.
Well, you know, but it was really lovely, actually, especially since I had read book one, and it was really lovely to hear what I could visualize as I was reading it. I could hear some of this wonderful sound effects and the different voices for some of the characters. And you have a wonderful voice for narration. I enjoyed what I listened to. But tell us a little bit about now you got some grant money to be able to do the audiobook, right?
Yes, I applied to the Arts Council of the Finger Lakes, which is in Corning, New York, to get a grant. And it was really quite a rigorous process. I'd never done a grant application, and I thought, well, for sure, I'm not going to get this anyway. And I got it. That meant, oh, no, I have to do this thing.
Yeah, congratulations on that. I know there's lots of ways people raise money, but we haven't really had anybody talk about grant. You know,
Never.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was actually when I got done with the grant, I thought, wow, I've already done a lot of this work because I had the book. So what I needed to do was audition. First, I had to take the novel and convert it into an audio script format, like a screenplay format almost.
Right.
It was a screenplay format, but it had audio. I actually had sound effects column, too, and so on, a music column. And then I auditioned, and I cast it, and I did all the recording. I created a studio in my basement at home. And I got some very inexpensive but very wonderful software for sound recording and editing by a company called NCH. And they sell bundles of software very inexpensively, and it worked. It came out really well, really nice. And just did all the recordings. Usually I did two people at a time. I also did the group recordings. I had two or three sessions where as many of the actors I could get to come and participate in all the reactions, you know, all the crowd reactions, and do that. And then I did all of the editing. and the production. I made the masters to go to CD Baby, or excuse me, Oasis, and I had Oasis replicate them for me, and it was quite an experience. It took me 2 years to do it all, because there are 8 CDs, like mm-hmm. 8.5 hours of audio, and then a wonderful gentleman, composer from Elmira, New York, named Jeffrey, Warren Jeffrey Motter, did the original music, which was all kind of sci-fi-ish rock kind of stuff, and it just came together very nicely. And wonderful local actors, well, actors that came, some of them came from 40 miles away to do this. Actually, some came from Binghamton.
Now, where is this available?
80 miles away from yeah. Corning.
Right, Binghamton, yeah, 80, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's what an undertaking. You have, between illustrating audiobooks, screenwriting, children's books, sci-fi series for young adults, what's next on the agenda, I guess? Well, you've told us a little bit about upcoming projects. What's the next thing that you could imagine maybe would be completed for us to be able to read?
A day off.
Day off? No, I just kind of work really fast. I guess I get so absorbed in what I'm doing that I'll just sit here like all day at times, you know, which doesn't always help you. I do try to get out and walk or exercise every day. So, well, I've got, you know, some other feature scripts that I've written and some shorts, so I'm sort of like pitching those, and I get requests, and so I spend a lot of time just preparing queries and following up with people, because you have to follow up every few weeks mm-hmm. after you send a script out, see what they think, if they read it yet, and so on. I'm also collaborating with a colleague from my writing group on a TV thriller, mm-hmm. and she lives in Australia. So
oh, wow.
We Skype. We have a few Skype meetings every week, and then we also use a software called Writer Duet, and that's also a very inexpensive software where you can actually both work in the same document and see what each other is doing in real time.
Oh, my gosh.
Awesome that we can do that. So she can be typing on one line, and I'll be typing in another one down below. Or it's actually very cool software. So then I just started Cindy's McCoy story. Other than that,
very busy girl.
I'm going to bet, Jim, that she doesn't ever get our big question.
Oh, no. She actually specifically said on one of her biographies that she does not believe in writer's block.
No way. I do not. I do not buy into it. I don't. I mean, yeah, are there sticking points sometimes? Yeah, but there's always a way out of them.
Sure.
There's always an answer.
There's no writer that sits there and scratches his head for 2 months and doesn't move forward with something.
Not right. And so. I think part of, with me, I have so many things I'm working on
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I shift gears a lot. So it's like, I don't have time to get writer's block. I don't have time to worry.
That's a mm-hmm. friend of the show's name, Court Joyner. He's pretty much the same
right.
way.
Just
He's
work.
Always busy on yeah. something. Yeah. So
all kinds of yeah. projects.
So.
But I just don't believe in it, because I don't even understand. I don't have a clue. I don't identify at all with what writer's block is and why anybody would get it. Just don't.
What authors do you enjoy reading when you have time to read?
Well, I've been reading a lot of, you know, industry kind of books, you know, like mm-hmm. screenwriting books and stuff. Mm-hmm. But what really, really got me inspired to start writing fiction was Ursula K. Le Guin. She's a science fiction, multiple Hugo Awards, Nautilus Awards, I think, a whole bunch of awards that she's won over the years. She's written, she's an amazing writer. You know, The Left Hand of Darkness, The Lathe of Heaven, oh, gee, I could go on and on. Word for World is Forest was the first of her books I ever read when I was an anthropology student. And I said, what is it about her that I love so much? I just did some research or read her bio. Her father was Alfred Kraber, who was like the father of anthropology.
Oh.
So she writes these. She writes these really cool, off-world kinds of creatures and people and cultures, and that's what really turned me on to that mm-hmm. kind of cultural sci-fi stuff with Ursula K. Le Guin. That was way back in the
gotcha.
Long time ago.
Mm-hmm. That set your foundation. And do you just do you kind of write all day long, or do you try to put it into a part of your life, or does it just take all your time? Or tell us a little bit about your writing day.
Well, I also have a long-time corporate day job. It's mostly part-time. Sometimes it's full-time, just depending on the project load. But I just shift, between my day job and one of my writing projects, or am I writing query letters today, or am I, working on this project or that project, and I just sort of, lots of times, all of a sudden something will happen, and I just need to attend to that. It's something that I hadn't even planned. It happens every day. All of my days are kind of not planned out real well. Like, I'll start out with good intentions. Like, I'm going to work on Cindy's book for a solid 4 hours today. And then, something comes up.
It happens to the best of us,
Tina. It
does.
It sure does. Glad to know. I'm not the only one.
but it's like stuff, it comes up, and it's okay. I don't really worry about it. I don't, as long as I'm moving forward on something, that's what counts.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, in the time we have left. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say, I don't beat myself up about it if I don't get something done that I plan to do in a day.
That's probably a smart thing to do. And the time we have left, why don't you give our listeners where they can contact you at? I know you have several websites. And your email address, and give them that idea. And if they want to contact you, they can.
Okay, sounds good. Well, I'll give them my screenwriting site first. It's just TinaFieldHowScreenwriter.com. That's Tina Field, F-I-E-L-D, HowScreenwriter.com. And then my novels is AlyssaBooks.com, AlysaBooks.com. And the children's picture book is SnailStories.com.
Fast.
And then I have another site that has a lot of my illustration on. I really haven't updated that site or added anything new to it in a while, but it's just, if you just go to TinaHow.com, that's a bunch of illustrations and stained glass and photography and things I've done over the years up there. On LinkedIn, I'm Tina Field Howe on LinkedIn. Same with Twitter. Same with Facebook. And my email address it's actually on all of the sites, so it's probably easier just to go to one of the sites or connect with me on LinkedIn or something. And I have too many emails too. I want to recite all my emails.
I know, I have several.
Yeah, Bobby has a lot of them.
And we would hope that you would think to post on the Writer's Block page anytime you're posting something that to your general public that you'd want them to know. Please come on over and post it on the Writer's Block page as well. We love that.
Okay, I'll be happy to. Thank you.
We do. And actually, the mug that you're going to be getting probably on Monday, take a picture of you with the mug or one of your books and get it on that page.
Oh, that would be fun.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Okay, I'll do that. And would you like me to send you a copy of the audiobook?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Or books, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Well, I'll email you an address.
Yes, thank you.
Because I don't give out addresses readily over the air. Not even my own, especially my own.
Exactly. That's fine.
Well, Tina, thank you for joining us tonight. It's been very informative, actually.
I took a lot of notes.
Yeah, I did too, and I don't usually do that.
I'm always happy to pass on stuff that I learned. I'm always happy to do that.
Well, most of the writers...
I know, it took me years to figure stuff out and find stuff.
Most of the writers that we get on here have figured out long ago that, they don't have to worry about people stealing their stuff because it just isn't going to happen.
Well, and all of this the websites you gave us, some of these technical things that are available, and that's the kinds of nuggets that we are so excited to unearth and be able to share.
So
good. I'm happy to help.
We've been very happy to have you on the show. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you.
And
it was
just
a blast.
Keep writing. Keep writing. Keep writing.
Keep writing.
Oh, you too.
And let us know if you get anything made into a movie, because we'll sure get it.
Or if you find your way out here live to L.A.
Oh, yes,
we would
you're
love
always
to
welcome.
Know that you're actually in the area, you know?
I usually get out there every other year, so, yeah, definitely.
Are you due?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just out last August.
Oh, okay.
Last August.
Okay.
Yeah. So I usually get out there once every year or so.
Well, just give us a heads up, and we'll make room for you.
And as soon as I get that call from the producer, I'll be out there even sooner.
There you go.
There you go.
Thanks again, Tina. Get some sleep.
Thank you for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good
Thank
night.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You bet. Tina Field Howe.
I need to read the other book.
Yeah.
I did not want this one to end. So
did
I'm
you?
Excited
you have the PDF, right?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Okay. I didn't get the first one. So.
Oh, I'll send it to you.
Okay. Cool. And boy, we're like out of time. So I just want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure having us with you in our studios. And next Thursday, of course, Russ will be here along with Carolyn Harris. Carolyn Howard. Carolyn Howard. She'll be on the phone in studio. And other than that, I hope you all have a great week. And we'll be talking to you soon from us at the Writer's Block. Have a great week.